There's just a brief word in Hebrews 11, which we've been hearing throughout this whole meeting. We have been meditating in Hebrews 11 at home. We had in Vacation Bible School, we had some observations from this chapter. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying to his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. The thought I want to bring is a very simple thought here. Some years ago, the Lord said in one of our meetings that when the children of God really get the light of the finished work, that's the light that will put the enemy into the pit. That stayed with me. That's many years ago I heard the Lord speak that way. And I felt all along that God has a greater sight for all of us of the great sacrifice of Jesus. Have faith in God. Our God has provided a complete and perfect sacrifice in the Lord Jesus Christ to bring us to God, to bring us into the place that God intended when he created man. Cain and Abel, of course, had the same background. They were brothers. They lived in the same environment, had the same opportunities. Cain went into the grazing of cattle, sheep. Abel did that. And Cain tilled the soil. And we know the family of Cain, after a while, became mighty men, scientific creatures working in iron. We read of brass and metals and other. One of his sons was a skillful artist, a musician, playing the instruments. Another went into farming again. And we find that Cain's family became mighty in the earth. But there's a difference here that is carried right through to the present day. Abel, in approaching God. Now, Cain was a religious man. They both wanted to bring an offering to God. He was just as desirous, I suppose, to bring God something as Abel was. He brought the very best that he could to God. We mustn't think that he was a scalawag. He probably put a lot of effort into the sacrifice that he brought, the fruit of the field, the best that he could do, the best that he could bring. For Abel had a light in his soul that he needed something that he couldn't bring. He needed more than he could bring to appease God. They had, of course, experienced the fall. They were born in sin, these boys, and they had experienced that same poison of Satan in the bloodstream and the soul of humanity, that ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that wasn't satisfied with simple faith in God and obedience to God. They had inherited that also. But Abel somehow was given grace from God to realize there was nothing he could bring excepting a blood sacrifice, accepting this lamb that was offered unto God. Now we read that God had respect unto his gifts. That's important. In Genesis we read God had respect unto Abel and his sacrifice. It isn't Abel that God necessarily had respect unto, but unto his gifts, unto that which he brought. And that's the glorious gospel message. God himself has provided a lamb for us. I trust we're all familiar with the stories of the Old Testament and how God develops the theme of the Lamb of God until Jesus Christ himself came as the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, to lay down his life for all of us. And sometimes people have difficulty finding peace with God. They want to know what to do. I've done my best, and still there's no peace. There's no real witness that God has accepted us. And Abel shows us something. God had respect unto his gift. He had nothing that could appease the wrath of God or that could bring about the reconciliation in himself. He was humble enough to admit that. And that is necessary for all of us to see that there's nothing good in us. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. A humility, a coming down before God, but a reaching out and accepting God's sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our sin. I wonder if you've all found real peace with God. I don't know you, but I trust you're all resting in Jesus this morning. Not in yourself, not in how good you've been, not in how hard you work to please God, but that your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are resting in him. God has respect unto the sacrifice. And when I come to him in Jesus' name, and when I come unto him and I sort of put my hand on that lamb as they had to do in the Old Testament, and I identify and take Jesus as my sin offering, God has respect unto the sacrifice that I bring. He has respect unto Jesus, and heaven is opened for me, and pardon is granted unto me, and cleansing, acceptance with God, as we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. Every bit of it. And there's nothing that we can add to that sacrifice to make it more acceptable. We can only defile and hinder as we try to add to God's sacrifice. Later on, we find that when you build an altar, God says, you make just take plain stones from the field. The thing that God is after there in the sacrifice that we bring is not to detract from the sacrifice. The moment you put your hand to beautify the altar, you defile it, God says. And you know there's nothing that you can add to please God. But God wants us to get a clear, wonderful sight of the perfection of Jesus Christ, his beauty, his glory, the spotless Lamb of God, and realize we are accepted in him. Have you all found that peace? If you haven't, well, you can find that peace this morning. God has provided a lamb for you. And Abel shows us the way. He simply came and offered God this lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. There's so many people like Cain who are religious today. And they've got a heap of religion. And they go to church. And they do their best. They give their offerings to the church. Maybe they devote some of their time to serve God. They join in all kinds of schemes to do good. No, we've got a lot of do-gooders today. And they mean it very, very well. I don't want to belittle any of that at all. But that will never open heaven for us. And that's the great need in the world today. The same idea is carried through. We want to bring something to God to earn God's favor instead of humbling ourselves and saying, God, you have provided a complete and perfect sacrifice, and you've given me Jesus, and I can place my hand upon that sacrifice and say, it was for me that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Simple faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And as I said before, there are so many people that are somehow or other caught up in trying to bring God something. That is basically an error. We cannot bring God anything Our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. We must take the place of recipients. We have to receive from God. And God is there to give. He has given us His Son, and with Him He freely gives us all things. And God wants my heart to be in that place of humility before Him, where I come and I say, Jesus, You're all. You're everything. You're all I need, and I take it. I accept, Lord. I receive from You. That is why God is always after us to get down. To get down, to come down, to admit and to confess that there's nothing good in us at all, but we need Jesus. We need Himself. And as we do, why, God is able to minister Himself to us. Praise the Lord. He is able to deliver us. Now there is something that I believe has happened in the world, and that has caused confusion throughout the years. The enemy of our souls, he has sort of tried to bring a mixture into the hearts of people, into the doctrine, and we try to add something to this simple gospel message. And they defy it. The Jewish people tried to bring the Christians under the law, the Jewish Christians. You must keep the law. It's not sufficient. This faith in Jesus, this believing in Him, this receiving Him is not sufficient. They said you must keep the law. And they brought in this mixture, and the Apostle Paul, of course, had to take up that battle. Oh, you find it in Galatians and in Romans, these teachings that are given to us that Jesus Christ alone is all that we need. Jesus Himself is all that we need. He has a complete and perfect salvation. And the apostle had to say to the Corinthians, now how did you get saved? How did you get the blessing? How were you filled with the Holy Spirit? How did God minister to you? Was it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did it happen? And how did it happen that God worked miracles among you? And how does He still do it? Is it by the works of the law? Did you earn it? Or is it by that sight of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who opened heaven for us by His precious blood? Is it the preaching of faith that has opened the door? The answer, of course, is self-evident there. It's obvious. It is by the hearing of faith. It's by receiving this glad news and receiving Christ, believing, as we heard, having faith in God's complete and perfect sacrifice, that the Holy Ghost is poured out. Sometimes we try to add something to what God has already done. Did you ever get hung up there? I have. We look for healing, for example. And we think, now what do I have to do yet? What can I maybe I ought to fast. Now fasting is wonderful when God leads you to fast or puts it in your heart. But as a merit, as something to add, you know, as a religious function, that I want God's blessing and I add something to that which has already been finished. You get into trouble, don't you? People have tried all kinds of things. And they're in desperate straits. And they need help from God. And the enemy is right there to mix them all up. And to get their vision away from Jesus, from His finished work, onto something they're doing. What are you doing? Are you doing enough? I had that experience with when my wife was sick. I've told you that before. Maybe I tire you out, but my wife was sick one day, very sick, and had been sick for a few days, and I was here at camp. And she has a good wife. She would, I'd call her every day and talk to her, and she would talk to me and never mention a word about her sickness. Everything's fine, and so, and my uncle called me, and he said, say, you better get home. Your wife is sick. She gets out of bed to talk to you on the phone. She's back in bed all the day. So I hurried home, of course, and God gave me his word. Oh, I tell you, it's such a wonderful thing when God gives you his word. He just said to me, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Just that word, I can still feel it, the way God gave it to me for that situation. And it took all unrest out of my heart. She had had a high fever for the week. Sister Frieda was in the house. You know, she was a nurse, a good one. Watch out. And she had been taking care of her, and she meant it so well, of course. And I came home, and I would be awake nights praying. Sometimes I'd wake up, and I'd think, how's Edith? What's Edith? But it will happen, and the Lord would say, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a good thing to just rest in the Lord and get to that place. And then, dear Sister Frieda, she got after me. You're not doing enough. And I said, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? In my heart, I knew that there would be victory. And I don't know what she wanted me to do, but she was really alarmed. And I just couldn't. Whenever I tried to get under a burden about the thing, the Lord would say to me, let not your heart be troubled. Well, that was his word. So, what are you going to do? Let your heart be troubled? You know, I want to tell you, he gave me strength, though. He gave me grace not to be troubled. It wasn't something just that I decided. But it was something that God worked in me, and I just rested in the Lord. And God brought her through wonderfully. But these thoughts come to us, you're not doing enough. We got to do something. It's so good for us to get our eyes on Jesus Christ, on the finished work of Calvary. He is all we need. And oh, how precious Jesus is, and how he has given us the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit will always point us to Jesus and the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, how great he is, how wonderful he is. Some years ago, we had an evangelist, Brown, visiting with us. He's a singer. And he sang and he preached, and his wife gave a few words, and then she said, I'm the daughter of the Kellners. And that rang a bell. Of course, these were old evangelists years ago in the New York area, Brother and Sister Kellner, German people. And it brought something to my mind, because years before, her testimony had appeared in the Evangel, and we picked it up and printed a tract in tract form. And her testimony was a lamb for a donkey. She had been very sick. She loved to go to church, loved to be in the meetings with her husband, had a part in the ministry, and now she was unable to go. She had a family too, and was really down, and she got so discouraged. And she kept examining herself, why can't I get healed? Why can't I get the help that, what am I doing, Lord? What's wrong? Well, it's good to examine our hearts. I would like to give you a little warning about that, though. I feel as my own thought, baby. Don't try to dig around. Let the Holy Ghost put his finger on things that are wrong, if they're wrong. Don't let the devil bring into condemnation and try to find this and that and the other thing and manufacture something. He likes to do that. But just look to Jesus and trust him. And this woman, as she was reading the story, you know the story, of course, how the donkey, the firstborn donkey, had to be killed, because he belonged to the Lord, and as an unclean animal, God would not accept that donkey, and so the donkey had to be put to death. by the farmer, excepting if the farmer would bring a lamb, he could redeem the donkey by the lamb. And strangely, this scripture came to her mind. I never cease to marvel at the wonder of the Bible.
Amen.
And the way the Holy Ghost can apply scripture, I would never have applied that scripture to her and gone to minister and say, dear sister, you know the donkey was redeemed by the lamb. You might have thrown me out of the house. Would you do that?
No.
No, I wouldn't, but the Holy Ghost did. And you know what the Holy Ghost said to her? When they brought this little donkey to the priest and the lamb, did the priest look at the donkey? Not at all. Didn't interest him one bit. But he took the lamb, and he looked that lamb over, any spot, any defect, anything wrong with the lamb. If that lamb was perfect, it was accepted, and the donkey lived. And Mrs. Kepler, in her sickness, she said, Lord, I'm that donkey. And I'm going to stop looking at myself. I'm going to stop considering myself at all. I have a lamb, and that lamb is spotless. That lamb is perfect. And God doesn't look at the donkey, he looks at the lamb. And that strengthened her faith. And she saw, oh, it's the sacrifice. God has respect unto the sacrifice. And she was healed wonderfully just by that little truth. That's a marvelous truth. That's a great truth that God made real to her in the word. Abel, God had respect unto his gift. And as I bring Jesus Christ, and as I take him, he paid it all. We need to get our eyes on our wonderful Lord and the all-sufficiency of his sacrifice. That's why we like to praise him, isn't it? We like to think of him. We like to exalt him. And in Pentecostal meetings, when God can have his way, there is much praise to the Lamb of God. And oh, Jesus would like to manifest himself by the Holy Ghost and get us to get a clear sight of that Lamb in the midst of the throne. The Lamb who has fully redeemed us. Hallelujah. And he wants us to take a hold and receive.